Good evening. Can I see where you're watching from tonight? Good evening. Good evening. Good evening. I agree with the song that is being sung, Pastor Crystal. It's just that it's not the time. I'm very clear exactly where we're going to lead ourselves now. Very clear. No deep waters, nothing. Because a lot, you remember that song, it's just troubled times, it just leads. So I need to publicly say, no, man, like, don't worry. You know exactly where we're going to go. Scriptures tonight. Genesis 39. I want to talk to you quickly tonight. I'm grateful for the giver service last week. The podcast on Sunday. And Pastor Kim, thank you for that very encouraging word. She said, for those who know her, she's been walking around hungry for 2 years. No, Kim, at least 7. And rightly so, Kim. So happy birthday to you. Genesis 39. Governance. I'm just saying the title for the first time. But I intended to speak about houses tonight. But in order to have houses, there has to be governance. The manifestation of houses, the establishment of houses, shows that there is governance. Houses are governance. It is governance and people. So in case you as a person, in case you're confused tonight, wondering what do I do next, wondering what breaks me through to the next level, and you've looked up to your family head and they are also wondering and waiting, rightly so perhaps, then I need you to draw your chair close to your screen tonight and please listen to me. A country without governance will certainly be third world. A space that is ungoverned would have all manner of things working there, meaning there are in nation building, there are places they call ungoverned spaces. So the actual result of a person's life or a country, in this case, a person's life is a person fails because there's no governance. Ungoverned spaces in our lives create all manner of terrorism. Like in Africa, they're gonna say the reason why this space has got this big land mass, no local government in charge of it. They call it ungoverned space. And so that means you can breed terrorists there. And that's why sometimes you will see America moving to another man's country. I'm not saying they are right, but it's the course of life. They move to another man's country. Why? Because the issue is, and I need you to hear this, the issue is, why would they be fighting this hard in Yemen? Of course, apart from certain selfish reasons, but fundamentally, why are they going to be interested in Pakistan? Why are they interested mostly in Afghanistan? Because these places are ungoverned and they become the breeding space for terrorism that can come and affect their own people. And so the issue is, God forbid that Elite is ungoverned. God forbid that Pulse is ungoverned. God forbid that Connect is ungoverned. God forbid that banking is ungoverned. Eventually, it will be a breeding ground that affects your family. And so America does not just go because they want oil. In most of these countries, there's no oil there, really. There's nothing there. It's just, if you leave them to thrive, they will have training grounds. If you leave them to thrive, they will have places where they can think and gather resources. Money will move there. They will gather resources in order to attack progress, to attack civilization, and it's going to be based on their religious beliefs. And that is why many times if you hear us say power base and so it was dissolved, is because ungoverned spaces will eventually come and destroy civilization. That's how ungoverned spaces work. Think about this. If you marry a person, if you go into association with an ungoverned person, if you marry an ungoverned space, no matter how much your life is good, they'll destroy it. This is why it raises leaders for us. And the reason why leaders are leaders is they've had a governed structure for their lives. So because now they are leaders and they are governing over us. Why? So that we can also be governed. So they pick on the ungoverned situations in our lives. Why? So that we can also govern others. It is never how to govern a nation first. It's never how to govern a local government first. It is never how to govern your school first. It's if you are governed. Definition of governed. You with you in a minute. If you are governed naturally, you will govern nations. The same way I've now given you the example of ungoverned spaces negatively, can we then think about the positive side? Because that's my focus tonight, what God is doing in the house tonight. And I want you to, that's why I said I want you to listen to me carefully. In case you're confused on what to do next, in case you don't know what breaks you through to the next level of breakthrough and the things and how much you want to give, what you want to give into the work, look for the next level of governance. That is, and most times, if you look at the third world, people, ungoverned people are so eager for power, and that's why they buy with money that was made ungovernly. Did you hear that? So they'll buy this election, they'll buy this vote, they are eager to govern. So we have ungoverned men who run into ungoverned money, who can say they are billionaires, the best billionaire, the most billionaire, whatever they call it in Africa. But really, if this same person exists in an advanced world, they can never have that kind of money, because there is governance, there is tax paying. So we have ungoverned people ruling a people who don't want governance. That is Africa. So the governance of my life, or God wanting to do something with my life, is why my feet led here. And you, as a follower, as a soldier, as a worker, your feet did not just come here by chance. It came for governance. Why? Because God has governance in mind for you. So what is the next direction? Next level governance. And have you realized, you leaders, have you realized how much people reject governance? Have you seen it? Have you seen how much we reject governance? I want you to understand that your next level, what you, and I've noticed this as I'm having more meetings, talking to people, and I sit down quietly to observe, and I clock something. You are the only hindrance to your next level. Your person is the hindrance. That's the hindrance. You have a behavior, an habit, a person you are or you've become that the world has been trying to take out of you. The longer you've been here, even the more indicted you are. 10 years, 6 years, 7 years, trying to fight that person to a standstill so that you can become all that God has proposed for you to become. You can be a powerhouse of all sorts that God has destined for you. But there's just this thing in this lady that just says, I just don't like how she behaves. I just don't like her. But I feel that I can save this more now, set some governance in the house again, because most of you have tried many things and you've seen losses on a proportion that only, no, Satan was more successful, that you can only see in your dream when you started out. You've seen it. And you see, when a man, a woman starts seeing losses, losses does not mean you're now hungry or you can't feed yourself. Perhaps you can't. But it means that you are not, you know, you're not where you ought to be by the standard of this world. You've seen those losses. And you can tell yourself it's by certain decisions that you made, but it's not late, because I feel that there's a new level of the blessing, a new level of prosperity that is just around the corner in the house. I can bet my life on it. I see it. I feel it. But reality, purpose, and the spirit of grace says to me, if you don't set this governance in place, most times nothing will stop that flow, but these people will stop it and destroy it, and each time come back poorer. So if you're confused, check the governance that you rejected. Governance is neither fear nor unfear. It's just regulations. At what point do I trust the law more than my emotions? It's a law. The work of a preacher is to read out God's purpose, eternal purpose, who you are. Your job is to do it or not to do it. This is the nation family. We have standards that we must insist on. It is not just I'm joining your business movement. It is, do you understand standards? Do you understand the spirit of excellence? Do you understand what you see? Do you understand that it is up to the minute details of information and relationship with the people that matters? Do you understand that you cannot come in with one level, one iota of jealousy, of pride, of envy, of anything? Just a single drop of it will stop you. I'm coming to households in a minute. So please, if you're watching me tonight, you're a family member. Nothing is stopping you. It's not the global economic crisis. If you really check the governance, if you look at the world plainly, if you look at the world without veil, you would see where you rejected governance. And because where God is going with us is governance in any field you've chosen. If it is the beauty world, it is governance is looking for. If it is crypto, it is governance. If it's banking, it is governance. If it is fashion, it is governance, not just earning. Earners are the less governed people. They are governed by strict rules. They have no choice. But by the time you're talking about an entrepreneur, a CEO, a leader of an SME, you are now governed by the vision, being governed by a workplace. You have to wake up at 6. They already governed you. You're not coming there with your envy. You can be envious of your boss all you like. Your envy and your emotion stays and dies with you. It's like they've set governance in place, like it's your problem. I remember Pastor Daniel Hidiwa telling me when he was in the army how his dad died. And he's going to tell them, I've got to travel for a week. My dad died. They said, why? He said, I have to travel for a week. They said, why? He said, my dad died. He said, so? So? It's the army. That's not an excuse here. It's meant he will die one day, guys. Like, it's not a good thing. It's painful, but it's the army. You know what people do, and that's why this has to be said as the family. And if you read this scripture carefully, you will understand that there is no force on earth that can make this happen. Look at this scripture, not Genesis 1, not the Genesis you wanted to read. Since the days of John the Baptist, it was talking about the kingdom. What Yeshua came to do was to announce the kingdom. He didn't beg people to come in. The church begs people, and perhaps we have to persuade people to come to service. But the family, you cannot persuade people to join the family. They have to beg to come into the family. And this is the standard. And if you dilute that standard, if you have to be told that we have to keep the structure of this standard, then he already has the backup plan for you. Because we're not going to change a nation. It's not going to change their governance and their governing, because some people had come who don't like that system. So perhaps you're a family. Perhaps you're one of the best soldiers in the house, but you never really entered the family yet. Perhaps. Look at this scripture, please.
Matthew 11, verse 12.
Tell me.
From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven.
I thought you were studying verse before, no? Did we change our system?
From verse 11.
Thank you.
Truly I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist.
Yet.
Whoever. whoever is the least in the kingdom.
Do you understand what John the Baptist is? He was sent to speak about Yehoshua before he comes. Is a prophetic order from Elijah. Is a great guy. He is the Christ, the God of that time. Now Yehoshua comes and say, "Look, I get it. He's a great guy. But even the least in the kingdom, you're thinking, how can this be?" As in, Yehoshua himself went to be baptized by John. Yehoshua turns around and says, "That order is great. That's amazing. He's a good man. But I'm telling you, in this kingdom, have we not paused to think? Have we not stopped for 1 minute to think, if this is the kingdom we're speaking about, is the greatest of us today in the church world, it's not as great as John the Baptist. So there's really no kingdom." Read it one more time, please. This is John the Baptist. He was Elijah reincarnated. "Truly I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone." I'll read it. "There has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist." Did you understand the word "born of women"? This includes Solomon, guys. This includes Moses. Includes David. Includes everyone. He said there is none of them as great as John the Baptist. Then he says, "Yet, whoever is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." How is this possible? My job is to stimulate your mind to think about these things. And you're asking me, where does this lead us? It leads us to a realization that there is a greatness that is yet unfolded. We've not unfolded it because there is a personality, a person that is ungoverning us, that is constantly fighting the rules of the kingdom. And he thinks sometimes it is smart enough, it's fine, but it limits your greatness. That's the issue here. Whoever is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than this guy. So it is good that we refer to Moses, to David, to all these men, but he's saying that there is something on the inside of us that eyes have not seen and ears have not heard and has not entered into the heart of man. And but where you are sitting right now, it is right there on the inside of you. If it will show up till you leave this planet Earth, will depend on you. When he was speaking about the birth of Yehoshua, he spoke about his governance system. The government will be upon his shoulder. He's just telling us that he came to install government, not rules, not religion. The government will be upon his shoulder. Then he began to tell us his names. He wants to govern us. And that's not from the religious Bible. Purpose. Is what our faith is based on. Purpose and assignment. Not the Christian faith. Look at the description of his office on earth. I think it's Isaiah, please.
Isaiah 9 from verse 5.
Tell me.
"Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government will be
and
on his
governance,
shoulder."
The government, the purpose, he started with, "To us a child is born." He's just talking about why you came here. So you can't bring your smartness to the family. The family came before you. "For to us a child is born," purpose, "and to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and it will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Did you finish that? Quickly rush back when you finish.
"Of the greatness of his government," verse 7, "of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no
end. It will reign on David's throne
and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness."
There is no man, I quickly feel I have to say this, there is no man that is born on earth without a purpose. Already you will tell me, we know that. But have you seen people live purpose? How many people do you know in your own personal family since you're born? Now you can say, this guy is really living purpose. And this is hundreds of us. Please point to me who you know personally. Well, does that not tell you you're already in the circle of that? And you ask why? As long as they are related to you. The same why is in you. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with righteousness, with justice and righteousness from that time on forever. The seal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Back to where we were, please.
Truly I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist.
Tell me.
Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than
now
he.
He's going to tell us about the kingdom. You know, we've gone to play tennis the other day, and a man signals to me from distance, waving, not worrying me, not bothering me for pictures and whatever, and he said, I follow you. I said, thumbs up, no problem. And they said, but can I quickly tell you something? Decent man, average age, said, I'm here, I'm training people on how to play what I play, but I'm walking up because I have a dream, and I wanted to hear his lofty dream. Like, I know you wanna, he said, I just have a dream, one day I will be able to join the family. Thank you, son. Walked away, gave his some balls. Let me tell you what is going to happen with the family. I hope you'll be here. If you're not, I won't care less. Let's not do this thing of patronizing. Why would you say you won't care less? Because I have seen people with whom we thought we would build such together before. And if you had told me, if I'd been prophetically gifted, let's assume there is any nonsense like that, to say, no, he won't be here, I would have said, how? Come on, like, how? No. We would have joined hands and just walk around the garden saying, together we're going to take the nation. But purpose already rejected them. Why? Because they were not sacrificial. Please, don't misunderstand this. You're not the first set of sacrificial people. Nations are always built. In fact, the reason why you met the nation, you met a pity, was there are people sacrificing together all the same. They sustained this for you to come. And Jesus, Yehoshua, made a very powerful reference. He gave a proverbial statement of a man, and I'll come back to this. I need you to hear this though. He gave a powerful proverb, parables of a man who went out to hire laborers. He first went out at 12 noon and he hired some laborers, and he agreed with them what their wages will be, let's say 30 shillings. Then he went out at 3 p.m. and he hired another set of laborers, and he agreed their wages with them, let's say 30 shillings. Then he went out at 6 o'clock and he hired another set of laborers, and he agreed a price with them, let's say 30 shillings. And he went out at 9 p.m. and he employed another set of laborers, and he wanted to agree with them. But the issue was, he was going to agree 30 shillings with them. Maybe I should stop using shillings, pounds. And the ones he employed at 12 protested. And they said to him, the day is going to end shortly, and you're going to give them the amount you gave us. We started work at 12. You're going to give them what you gave us, what you agreed with us at 12, at 9 p.m., when the day is about to end. Have you got the scripture? And the man answered them, saying, what?
Matthew 20, verse 11.
Thank you.
When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner,
saying,
these who were hired last worked only 1 hour, they said, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the
day. Those who bear the heat of the day, be careful. You need to hear this. Of the work and bear the heat of the day, tell me.
But he answered one of them, I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be the first, and the first will be last.
We read these scriptures to the same people years ago, and we read it not knowing what their destiny and choice will be. What is the destiny of this house? Governance. Why? Just so that the same way the wrong governance in the world, I've given you state example that if there is wrong governance or ungoverned space in Afghanistan, the problem America will have is they are going to attack the most advanced. Afghanistan is not training. People are not training there to go and attack a Ghana or Nigeria. They don't care. They're going to attack what is most prosperous, the same way, just opposing with what is positive. If there is right governance here, what is going to happen is you will take over the ungoverned spaces, and there are many of them. Are you listening to me tonight? What he was intending, what he is intending to do with the house is after self-governance. Self-governance is what made you to be part of Connect, to follow. Self-governance is why you are in elite. And if that self-governance, which start from your leadership, I'm not talking about intentions. Intentions don't matter, guys. Ask someone, how are you supposed to be loved? Do you want to be loved on emotion, love? Or you want to be loved on performance? And someone says, I want to be loved unconditionally, he says. I said, God already did that to you. How is that going? You're a Christian, right? You've heard that God loves you unintentionally. That's already there. Why do I have to do that? God already loves you unintentionally. I hope that's going great. Hope that pays your bills, give you the right mental health. It does all these things for you. Is that true? If I love you, I'm going to place demand there. The demand is not to break you. It's to bring you out of who you are into who you are destined to be. That is love. I said, and in case you're not satisfied with how is life going with this so-called unintentional or unconditional love of God for us, I hope you know that if you really believe the Christian faith from which you quote the unconditional love, if you really believe that, he already gave you a cutoff date. The cutoff date is, he just says, if you didn't do my rules on earth, there's hell for you, right? How can that be unconditional, please? That's the most conditional thing ever in this world. It's the most conditional. Just do everything I say. And if you don't, when you die, you're going to be in burning lake of fire. That's the most conditional thing. Makes no sense, guys. This love has demand. A family is a bond of love. It has to have demand. If it has governance, it already has demand. And I constantly now looking at what is governance. Governance is not suppression. Governance is really uplifting. The uplifting of people. And the much success that we've recorded as a house across board is because of governance. Is when your leaders understood the governance over them when they are not distracted. You have governance. And every nation is governed according to what they want to see in that nation. So when a man walks up and says, my dream is to join the family, he's not trying. He's not trying to take pictures. He's not trying to be seen with you. He just believes from a distance, there's something called the family. I'm telling you again that what will happen to this family will shock the world. It's going to be the greatest thing humanity has ever seen. It will be. Because we've mastered the right things. We understood we govern ourselves out of the hands. When you guys came, you feared the governance of the house because of the power, the charisma, the focus, the seriousness of the house. You've never seen such a thing in your life before, and you were willing to surrender your whole. You were willing to give your whole, because since the days of John the Baptist, did we really read that? Please, let's read it. tell me.
Yet whoever's least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than
he. He's now going to tell us the system that will make you great. Greater than John the Baptist. He said the least in the kingdom. I'm simply saying if Christianity represents the kingdom, there's no one as great as John the Baptist there. It definitely can't be the Sinai old men that calls themselves our leaders. Truly, I tell you, but next verse, please.
From the days of John the Baptist until now.
From, you know what it means by the days of John the Baptist? Since the day John the Baptist set a standard. Since he set a standard for greatness. And that is what he's calling the nation family to do, because it's in you. Everyone that is part of this family, your job is to set a standard for the community, not to, after many years of many sacrifices, begin to regress, begin to go back into what they are. They are not our influences. We are their influence. They are looking up to you as much as they are hiding to look up to you. They are looking up to you, and you must not budge. But what keeps you is the governance of the house. Governance brought you here. Don't let your family head govern you. In a moment, they will lose governance. Listen. Stop that, please. The moment they lose governance, they will misgovern you. You'll become an ungoverned space. And I've told you about intention. It doesn't mean anything. It's good. But if a surgeon leaves your life to his or her good intention, you will surely die. A surgeon must not just have good intention, must be awake all the time. Imagine your surgeon is dozing off. And they said, "You don't understand my intention, sir." He said, "What the hell is your intention, please?" He says, "I came to this surgery right after all the stress I've gone through. And you must know that I mean well. Because it's 4 a.m. and I just left the video. I was looking after my child. And I came here because I'm well-intentioned. You will surely die." It is, leadership is life. It is, it's not just people's life now. It's life, meaning it's life broadcast. You sleep off in a second, the result will be there. It may take a year, but you will see the sleep off. So then you're saying, "Oh, so what do we do with our family?" You watch how they are governed from a PT. Your eyes opened to see that they are governed. And that's simple. You don't know what happens in Camp David or HQ. You're listening to the same word they are listening to. So don't sleep. And when your spirit responds and you're listening to an instruction, when your spirit is not right with it, come to the board, come to the table of the word. Don't move until you are right with it from the word. Why? Because if your family head, if your house leader is speaking from the standpoint of the word, you will know. So you see, all these things, we teach leadership. It's one of our four cardinal points in this house, uncompromisingly. But yet, let me tell you, there's a place where it stops. For examination, according to the word, your ears open, your eyes clear. It's leadership. But it's the word. Because you must not forget that your family head, whoever they are also learning on the job. But they are not, the reason why they are your family head is purpose, not expertise. It's purpose. God made it so, and nothing changes that. It is the call of God. It's the destiny of God over their life. It's the hand of God over their life. It's the calling. So it is not based on your choice. I told some of your brothers this week, saying, "Well, you know, a lot has happened in our family or our fellowship, and these are brothers we used to look up to them." My conclusion, very simple. Your leg didn't stray in here. Your head didn't stray in here. You did not choose them as your senior brothers. And you cannot unchoose them. As you are working on your perfection, they are working on theirs. But you see, you will all make greatness together the moment you decide that we did not choose ourselves. The word chose us. Vision merged us together. The word is our melting pot. And once we realize that there's nowhere to turn to again, then we will rise together. Did you hear what I just said? Let's go, family. From the days John the Baptist set the standard, I think for the next generation or for our kids or so, what God wants to do is to use you to set a standard. People will begin to form families after the image of what you're forming. They will form families and the standard will be prosperity. Someone is stopping us in the street. Many people are stopping us in the street. Our DMs are full. How can I join the family? How can I join the family? And honestly, you want to tell them, there is no how, really. There is really no how. But one day you will join. You will subconsciously fulfill the requirement. Because then you say, what is the requirement? I don't know the requirement. I just know the scripture. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom
of heaven has been subjected to violence.
NKJV, please.
And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence.
And the violence
take it by force.
They are taking it. They want to come in. Church is not, you don't take church by force. Church is begging. Church has billboard everywhere. Church are beggars. Please come. Imagine coming, begging people to come for a miracle. Please come now. Our God really wants to bless you. Please, I'm on my knees. The pastor says, please come for blessing. And the people say, I don't want blessing. So it's by force you have to come for blessing. That's not the kingdom. What the word meaning they take it by force means is so appealing enough. Another proverb of the kingdom of God is as if a woman should find treasure, or as if a man should find treasure, and he should sell all he has and come back for the field. I've not even started where I want to go tonight. I'm coming to the houses, but since Pastor Sam calls it governance and people, I think it's important for us to understand why there is governance, why you have families. And now the season the nation family is in is the governance of the houses, house leaders. House leaders are now what family heads are. I didn't say they replace family heads. I'm saying, you know how your family head is your local government person. House leaders are now that house. That is the next level of governance. Because family heads have already been established. Now we want to establish house heads. We want to see the performance. Tell me.
Matthew 13 from verse 44. Then from verse 33. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field.
Are churches hidden? They're on billboard. They are begging. Churches beg. Let's not lie to ourselves. Churches are begging organizations. And if your church is in the UK, it begs for even charity. It begs for 20p over £1. That's not kingdom. Kingdom means king and dominion. It's represented in power. It's represented in movement. It's represented in the beauty of everyone that is there. The glory of each citizen. The privilege of each citizen. That's not a church. What's the glory of the citizen of a church? Nothing. They are beggars. They're going to kneel down and say, God, please help me. That's not kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. The nation family has a treasure. You don't have to look for it. Not our church services. That you get people registering, you mobilize, you get souls, but you cannot get souls into the family. Where would you start from? Am I saying the family is complete? No. I'm saying there are people who are still preparing, but let me tell you about people is preparing. Usually, people is preparing is not addition, is replacement. need you to hear this truth. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. Why am I reading this scripture? So that you can understand what he offered you to be part of. You've heard the word United Kingdom before. It means even those of you who are immigrants that now carry the passport, it means most times the government is coming to save you because of the kingdom you belong to, the wealth of that kingdom, the power of that kingdom. Go and belong to the kingdom of Nigeria. Nobody's coming to save you. Because really, nobody's begging to be part of it. It's for all. The passport is for all. You can actually buy it cheap. It's not that deep. If you really want it. But you ask people, why would you want it? Why would you want Nigerian passport? Why? Why would you want Congolese passport? It's not a kingdom. It's free for all. These are largely ungoverned spaces. Now, why are you always criticizing them? It's not a criticism. It's for you to know where you're coming from. Our parents don't teach us governance. They teach us discipline. Most times, discipline. Don't do this, don't do that. There is not do this. It's always don't do. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure. The church, the church movement is not a treasure. It's a gathering. The family is a treasure. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. Tell me.
Which a man found and hid.
Someone is digging. A field is big enough, so it's not a secret society. A field is open. But there's a treasure hidden in that field. That field could be, it could be Instagram, could be our Sunday service, could be whatever. But someone is looking for something that is deeper. They know. They are not hungry. The man I saw is not hungry. They are not hungry. But they are hungry. They know that wherever they are in their life right now is not where they need to be. There's still something. And there are thousands of people like that outside. But they are not coming under your leadership that sleeps. They are already too hungry. And I've told the family elders and the house leaders, what you have now is a test. A test for what you can handle. A test. A test for what is to come. A test. The people that you have now is a test for what is to come. The kind of people that God can actually push your way. And I'm not saying that you will always be perfect, but we will see the skill and the alertness of your mind. It's a test. It's not driven by emotion. It's driven by truth, logic, science, principle. A, B, C. Not A can lead to Z. No way. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found. Look, you cannot actually not be looking for and find. Finding is as a function of looking for. But you can't tell me that this man was looking for in actual words. He could not have told himself that he's looking for a king and his dominion. He doesn't know the word for what he's looking for. But he knows he's looking for something. And the moment he spotted it, he knew, this is what I'm looking for. It is this proverb that then tells us is the kingdom, the dominion of a king, the reigning of a king, the governance of a king. And who is that king in our day and time? Purpose. You know, we have many kings in the world. We even have king friends. When people call me king today, I said, you're referring to the other guy. And I know the word, you say, oh, king, like king. No, no, I'm not king. I represent a king's dominion, the word. But that's just, we address it, just king, king, king. And so I said, don't you know you're a queen? No, you're not. You are just from a village. You really. Otherwise, you become, as in, you have an ungoverned space. Their government is dysfunctional. But do you know how many kings we know from Nigeria? It's like everybody is king here. But yet there is no kingdom. It is not how great a king looks. It's how your citizens look. Otherwise, someone has just gone to put beads on you and a very mysterious cap. Or you sit down in your room and you listen to motivational message and they say, don't you know you're a king? No, you're not. No, you're not. Your landlord is coming, you know. No, you're not any king. You're nobody. Don't do that to yourself. Don't be stupid. You're not a king. Find the kingdom. How do I know a person has... How do I know you found the family? How do I know you found the kingdom? What you were willing to subject to as governance. The rules of the house. What differentiates us from just a church movement. Beggars begging people to come. What differentiated us was our rules. Our seed rule. Our house rule. Our family heads rule. Whatever rules that you know. Our encode, our travel ban rule, whatever it is, those rules is how you know you found the kingdom. But do people drop kingdoms? When the Great Britain, the United Kingdom, went to Africa, all their representatives lived in Africa like they were in the UK. They dressed the same way, even though they're in another land. I need you to hear this. They wore their tie and suit under the sun. They drank tea. They spoke the language of their kingdom. When he is done with us, creating and making us understand governance in the house, when he's done, he will send us to these nations that are ungoverned territories. But he has to understand that you will speak the language of the kingdom that you represent. You will dress the same way. You will speak his language. You will have the same rules. Otherwise, what would happen is you will go there looking for money and you become them. Then there's no kingdom. Do you understand these things, or are they too lofty? So he's just asking us, do you actually understand why this? He's teaching us governance and telling us the territories that all of us, most of us are coming from, they are ungoverned territories. They are breeding grounds for world terrorists. And guess what the world then did to us? They then came to our own hometown, our own Afghanistan, our own Pakistan, and they invaded us, our own Yemen, and they invaded us. What they are saying is, you see these untrained souls? We don't want them in this civilization. So I said, but my parents got passport and visa and came and we relocated. They are saying, yeah, that's fine. But you see, we'll lock you up in all those areas. The things, the security world that PK wants to take, the beauty world that you want to take, the banking world that you want to take. They said, you're ungoverned people. You will bring terror. Should I pause or should I go on? Here, guys, here. You will bring terror, and you would attack civilization, and the reason would be because you were ungoverned. So now I wonder, but I have answers to why it looks as if the 1% of the world, so to speak, shuts us out. They are just saying, from where you're coming from, it is the breeding ground for destruction. It is your own Afghanistan. We won't let you in because you're coming from ungoverned territories. So what did God do? What was God's arrangement? He places the solitary in families. I want you to read that scripture. He first brings them into a family for governance. And once we get the family governance right, I'm telling people that may be watching, you may be new to the family, we are not looking for members. I'm not trying to preach online to 1 billion people. I'm trying to build a family that is the richest and the most powerful, full of young leaders. That's what we are doing. However, we have a church and movement also. And it's good because we all need to serve the Lord God of Israel. But that's not my own purpose here. And I've proven to the world that even that I can do, in a small city like this, without advertising miracles, I filled arenas. We filled spaces, the biggest places. We filled it. We filled the biggest spaces, confined spaces in this nation. We got everyone to come. We did it. We all did it. We didn't do it once. We didn't do it twice. We did it like the world does it every Sunday, without tricking anybody to come and be healed of their leg pain. We did it. The Spirit of grace keeps showing us the reason why I made you do it is so that nobody will say, you see, can't gather the numbers. We did it. Most times without no single advertisement. But then he began to remind us that this is meaningless in itself if it doesn't lead somewhere. That every human that does not evolve remained apes, monkeys. Evolution is human. It's the sign of life. Have you got the scripture for me? Tell me.
Psalm 68 from verse 5. A father of the fatherless, a defender of widows.
You know why he calls them fatherless? Governance. Our community is not fatherful. We're fatherless. And I'm not talking about the man that raised you, some days is angry, some days is happy. I'm not talking about the man that is most times clueless, who just went to work and just did his work. Good man. But God's man is a different assignment. Good man is made by discipline. God's man is made by purpose. It is not how perfect they are. They are God's men. A father to the fatherless. So we have a generation that is fatherless. And all of a sudden, again, like we did and we do. We did and we always do. The black community, this community, we're just going to find one walk. Everybody is going to rush there. Everybody is just influencer now, right? But you see the fall of that. It's happened before. And this is what the other community has got over us. They just have stability of time. Whereas we think in 2, 3, 4 years, they think in 40, 50, 60 years. They are not going to lean towards just what is in vogue. They are the vogues. The father of the father. Thank you. The family is set. Our setup is to be what is in vogue and to be the vogue as well. Is a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows.
Is God in his holy
verse
habitation.
Verse 6, please.
God sets the solitary in family.
We were solitaries. Confused coming from our community. Everything, I need you to think about this part. Everything was defined to us by people who don't know our culture or way of life and our composition as humans. Everything. You don't know what it means to be married. We don't know. Someone told us. And guess what? People base their whole life on the definition of another race. Then still, they are hoping to be better than that race in result. How? They already defined you. We don't know what it means to be a woman. We don't know the definition of success. You have arrogant people who say, no, me, I'm this. You're not. You're truly not. It's lovable. The other community that we want to be above defined everything. You know, there are some things in your life now that you don't know if it's right or wrong. You just accept it because someone else told you how to be, what to be. And that's why we had to grow to a place where we, as a kingdom representative, the nation family, we have to have our rules. God set the solitary in families. Again, why? If you're going to take over the other community or you're going to be above them, I personally feel these are the teachings movement before us, including the Nation of Islam, did not have or understand. My thought. It set the solitary in families. We cannot take over anything without being families first. The fatherless, the ones without governance, it set them first in families. It brings
out those who are bound into prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in dry land.
Then you will have the rebellious, someone who will feel, well, because I'm a rapper, I'm doing well. That's for me. You will not get anywhere without being a family. From the day the first man was created, it was set as a family man. The only issue here is it is also the white community that defines family to us. You don't know what family is. You don't know what a family is. Ask any grown up. the aunties, whoever, ask them what the family is. They say, my kids and my husband. Until the husband and the wife start fighting. So I now ask them, now you're fighting, you're going to divorce or you're divorced. So what are you now? If that was family. So now that divorces, and every Christians are more divorced than Muslims. So it knows no religion. It knows no intelligence. Things happen. But if we define family as such, then what are we when that is no longer functioning? What are we? This is family. And it's a must that every family must have houses so that I can go into what I want to talk about and close. I've looked around the nation family and I've done my own auditing of what you should be worth by now, financially and influence-wise. And if you're not, hold your family heads responsible. But then we have a calling over us and it's urgent to reverse. By all means, we're doing way better than all the people we know or used to know or we see, way better. But we cannot use them as the measurement. We have to use God's purpose and God's calling and God's assignment as the measurement. We cannot use the people we left behind as the measurement. Shadia cannot use her old school mate or someone that was part of the nation family before and dropped out as the measurement. It has to be the mirror we look at. Must be we must look at this word. What this word should have done. What this kind of word would make us is what we look at. So our eyes cannot be open to those who don't even hear this word. It will be unfair on them. It will be unjust on them because they are not entrusted with this word. They are not entrusted with the proximity of this leadership. So they are not expected to be better off. To whom much is given, much is expected. It is you responding to that word. And the only way you can do that is to refuse to allow yourself to clash with the kingdom. You found a treasure. You were five that came. Only you remained, or 10 or 20, your whole community. You found something for which you are willing to sell everything and let go of everything. Now, after letting go of everything, don't now start reversing. You know why you shouldn't reverse? The people you left behind will be your masters. Because at least they've gone into that world and they've advanced there. They may not have anything, but they've advanced in not having anything. They are masters of it. They are good at it. And they've adjusted. The problem you would have is when you reverse, God forbid, back to them. Yeah? You'll be trying to master what you know should be and what they've adjusted to. And it's going to be a problem. God set the solitaries in families, solitary in families, and brings out those who are bond into prosperity. We found the way this happens. He first sets them into families. Why? For governance. You see where our predecessor missed it? They just thought fathering means anyone that gives birth to you. Anyone. And for those of you who were even given birth to by good men is even more confusing because he didn't do you anything wrong. It's just that your spirit and soul is looking for something. But after finding all that, why do we still allow our present to clash with our calling? We want to read Joseph in the house of Potiphar. Then I'll read Abraham in his own house and I'll start to close. I'm talking about houses. We're going to continue this series. I think we're going to repeat the podcast again on Sunday, just on houses, the governance of houses. If the governance of your house is set right, if you don't have a rash, irresponsible leader, you will prosper. Please, let's forget who did right, who did wrong. If you have a governed house, leaders whose eyes are clear and ears are open, you as a person will prosper. You will not have. So,
Genesis 39 from verse 1. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian, who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph, so
I was thinking why Joseph's life was continuously servitude. Or seemingly continuously servitude. He had a dream, then it was bought. He tells me, you see, what makes people lesser in life is freedom without having paid the price for it. So some of the things we thought true was, you know what? I don't want to look like I'm making decision for faith. So I'll just, what do you want? I want to look like I'm intervening in connect matters. So what are you guys thinking? He comes back to me and say, how is that going, sir? How is that? How is that going? And I would say it's not going bad, but it's worse. By food heating, by living in a mansion, when we compare that to where we're coming from, it's not going bad, but it's worse. If you look at the word like a clear mirror and you examine where this word should take you, and he's saying it's not because they're not hearing the word, it's the missing of governance. Joseph was brought into the house of Potiphar, but it just takes a family head, a house leader, just one little thing, and offense happens. And you look at the greatest man in governance. The greatest man in governance is Joseph, as far as I know. Why? Daniel was great as well. But I choose Joseph because he fed the world. The whole world came to his boss. And I'm looking at his trajectory. They didn't give him freedom before time. He wasn't treated fairly before time. Your culture, because our culture is a mixed match of wrong information, false human rights that we were taught. So we quickly shout fear and unfair. Fear, your fear, your unfair. This is fair. This is not fair. I don't think that's fair. Fear, fear, fear. That's all we shout. And we ask ourselves, who told you what is fair or not? How did you know? Someone informed you. But you see, that is what I mean by our present clashing with our calling. The Lord was, start from verse 1 again, please. I'm going to go slower now because I want to give certain instructions. Now, Joseph had been taken down to Egypt.
Potiphar, an Egyptian,
who was one of Pharaoh's officials,
the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites.
That's not fair. That's not fair. How can a person with dream be bought and pay? You know what it means to be bought? That means you don't own yourself. Anything you bought don't tell you what to do with it. That's not fair, isn't it? A son of an immigrant, a daughter of an immigrant, that's not fair. Black Lives Matter. That's not fair. Verse 2.
The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered.
Regardless of his background, the Lord was with him, caused him to prosper, and he lived
in the house of his Egyptian master.
Those of you who are sent to go and work somewhere, and before you can step your foot there, you are afraid of being cheated. You are a wrong person. And if your leader, if your family head ever suggested to you about how cheated you may be, ask them today, am I prospering? As in, you should get home and go and cry in their bedroom. So why did you do this to me? I'm high prospering. Would I not be in a better position to even be able to tell a PT, I did a deal where I was sent and I'm supposed to be paid 100K and they are still holding it. Today, can you claim anything you were cheated of? Did the leader provide a better means of better income for you? What is leadership? The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered. He lived in the house of his master, unafraid of being cheated, unafraid of anything, because he has a dream. It is ticket out of poverty. He has a dream. Eventually, it will speak for him, regardless of what tries to suppress him. He's not looking for fairness. He's looking for greatness. In my pursuit for greatness, sometimes I was cheated. Sometimes many things didn't go the way I wanted, but it was all a setup to prove that what was inside of me is greater than what is outside me. Thank you, sir. It is greater, and I have, if you can give me one opportunity, I don't care if it is in the house of Potiphar, one opportunity to just use what is on the inside of me, I'll be grateful. Not looking for fairness, I'm looking for greatness. And most people that end up great never had a fair life. Most people that ended up great, from the Nelson Mandela to Martin Luther King to whoever you want to think about, never had a fair life. They are always the people saying, why me? Then one day comes, their day of greatness. That's what I'm looking forward to. I'm not looking forward to my day of fairness. I don't want fairness, I want greatness. As a kid, as a child, already shouting fear, 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 fear. Is it fair? Is it fair? You will end up carrying protest placards. Protesting for fairness. And guess what you'll be carrying it for? You'll be telling them to change your wages from 5p to 7.55p per hour. Those who are doing it today, that's where they started from. It's not a fair life. The world itself is not fair. Great. Great. As a cause, you have to let go of fairness for greatness. There is nothing called why me. It's on the inside of you. You are going to have to rise up and fight for greatness. That is the kingdom. Imagine Yahushua was saying that of all born of women, there is no one of them that is as great as John the Baptist. He says, but I've come to hop the game. The least in my kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. You think that's a fair life? That's someone carrying placards around for fairness. Send someone to go and walk somewhere. The leader start talking. So don't worry. You people, 6 months. Let's see. Well, if the leader does not put in your hand what you could have made in the last 6 months, it's a wicked leader. It's a wicked. The Lord was with Joseph, and so he prospered in the house of unfairness. He was sold there. Nobody should buy a slave, right? He was sold there, and in that house still he prospered because he had the opportunity to at least use what he had. There's no payment for Joseph. No payment, not one penny. He was already bought. As in one human said, I own him. Takes the money from someone, in case you don't understand what this means. Takes the money from someone else and says, you go work. So he was a laborer for no pay. People create platforms and companies, gives you opportunity to work, and you say, oh, well, I want to do a deal with you, Master. He said, no, don't worry. You go do a deal with yourself in the company you will build. Go do it. And let's see how easy it is. Leaders can be extremely wicked. Before you take advice from someone against someone, ask what they built. Don't be doing, he's close to PT. He talks to PT. I'm not close to anybody. I'm close to me. I'm close to greatness. The demand for greatness. The practicality of human communication, coming together to build something. That's what I'm close to. Anything outside of that, I don't know it. The demand. Well, God, all your family is here. It's a demand for their greatness. The right timing of submitting a letter, the delivery. It's just a letter and things have been happening that I've just been busy. No, you've submitted it. It is that constant demand that got you here. Do you guys remember this? It's the constant demand, and some days it looks like it's petty. It's just, have I posted? No, it's not petty. You, as in, Emma, you're a surgeon. Is there anything petty in surgery? You just say, no, it's just the liver. Don't worry. You see, liver, you don't do bypass. Just put a skin and just join this thing. Chewing gum together, it will be fine. He said, it doesn't matter now. And now, because the man stands up walking about, you said, you see, I told Jesus, let me just put chewing gum there. He will fall down and die soon. So it's not the big target. It is attention to the minute assignments. That's the standard the family has. And we're not going to compromise that for anything. The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. Tell me verse 3.
When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes.
Did you see how Christians perverted this thing? Read this thing again. They asked for favor without the master. You heard Christians say it's your year of favor. God's favor is a lie. It's a lie. Look at the principle of favor again. Verse 3.
When his master saw that the Lord was with him.
How did the master see that the Lord was with him? Everything he did succeeded. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything. I'm not talking about things that you do that succeed today and fail tomorrow. Then you tell me the story of when he was succeeding. It's nonsense. Well, last year we're succeeding. Okay, what should I do with this now? I should sit down and drink water on last year's success that I didn't see. When he saw that the Lord was with him and gave him success in everything he did, then what?
Joseph found favor in his eyes.
Is this favor from the Lord or from Joseph's success? Everything. Timing. Everything. Delivery. Everything. Coordination of your people and people. Excellence of spirit. Joseph found favor in his eyes and became
his attendant.
And of all this blessing this guy has seen, they didn't make Joseph master. They made him the attendant of the master. Because from where we're coming from, we become king quick. Masters in a minute. And someone was saying about, because I'm going to form a new house tonight, and saying, oh, so-so is so good at admin. Remember, he's been with you for years. Say, I don't know how he's good in admin. Let's not deceive ourselves. Admin what? Actually, admin. Let's not be doing this thing. Let's forget that thing. I've seen their writing before from their family with spelling errors and wrong commas. How can you then wake up and say, he's so good in admin? Because we've been saying it. It's like saying doctor. And all of a sudden, we certify this person as good in surgery. And say, okay, go and perform that surgery. Why do I keep calling the person doctor? Because I've not been sick to the point where I need a surgery. It doesn't matter. It's, yeah, so if I keep saying, oh, admin head, it's because I don't need the administration. Now I need it. And that good will be tested. Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him
in charge of his household.
We're back to this house thing, and he entrusted to his care
everything he owned.
The world will entrust to us everything they own. We're going to have the biggest trust fund. And what do they call that thing? Wealth management. It's going to be ours. It's coming, guys. It will come. It will come, but he's setting us to reform. So I'm saying this so that if you get a text, a WhatsApp, what do your parents call it? What's up? Yeah, what's up? Whatever. From your leader to the same, PT has instructed you to now go here and there. It is not a deliberation. And I'm not taking it through your family head. It is an instruction of which if your family head don't like it or you don't like it, you people can go and start your own movement. Because guess what? Your family heads are exposed enough. They know how to raise finances and do registration on event something like that. They can do it. So you should encourage your family head that, you see, we've seen this thing that PT does and all this. We can do it. And guess what? Yes, you can. Obama said it. You can. But if we are serious about building a lasting work, giving you historic facts, scriptural facts, why these men were blessed. Households, the most powerful thing in governance. Africa wants to fix a nation without fixing the family. It's going to be completely impossible. The family have to have certain standard, and we were not the ones that spoiled the family. Family standard of Africa, the other race came and spoiled everything. We didn't spoil the family unit, they did, and Christianity finished the work. Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant.
Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge,
Genesis 14:14. No. You know the first one, before trained, men born. Now I'm getting to the specific now. Tell me, do you know what I'm talking about? There is, okay, go for it.
From verse 13.
Thank you.
A man who had escaped came and reported this to Abraham, the Hebrew. Now Abraham was living near the great trees of Mamre, the Amorite, a brother of Eshcol and Anar.
Verse 14.
When Abram heard that his relative had been taken captive, he called out the 318 trained men born in his household.
These 318, first trained, but then it qualifies why they were trained. They were born there. So I'm not talking to those who were not born in this house. And I have to come to the reality of that. And you would ask me, what does it mean to be born here? When it dawned on you, when purpose dawned on you, it must be from this word. When boldness rose within you, when you realize that you can break the shackles of what you used to know into being what is unknown to you, that is your birthday. Did you hear what I just said? So I'm talking to those who got those inspiration, those words from this house. The day you actually become a person is the day you realize what you can be, and nothing was stopping you anymore. And not just that, you were willing to give everything to what you heard. These are the men I'm talking to. Please, if you were born here, don't go and reborn yourself in elite. Don't be silly. Because If you are now reborn in elite, you are reborn. You've gone to reborn yourself in the inferior, because Pastor Nick is not elite. It's nation family. Because you hear things like, "There's this person. She just takes so much to her leader." Listen to me. Yeah. The person you are taking to has no power to raise you. If they did, you would have heard them first. And there will be pity. There will be no pity. It will be PS. It will be P. I don't want to use any words. So it is still good to take to that person because they are not bad. But as your social worker, probation officer, people will buy you boxes and shirts. Make sure you have a salon to go to. But imagine if your whole life and your leadership, your choice of leadership is based on the fact that this person can actually buy me a t-shirt. It means you're falling back to the system that you are being taken out of. What makes us honor family heads? The fact that they can reiterate the vision. They can represent the vision. They can represent pity to you. They can reproduce you as them. Not afraid that you can be the next family head. Did you hear that? Thank you. And Abraham, I needed to pause and look at the scripture. They were trained men born in his house. They were not members who just came. They didn't just hear about the fame of a pity or the fame of, they actually came, started looking. Some have not even heard the word. They were just looking, and something in them thought, I can actually do this. I can be more than what I am right now. And their eyes got opened. Their mind got illuminated. Their ears got uncircumcised. And they are ready to live at all cost in what they've seen. Of course, the Spirit of Grace has told us to reform the houses. House leadership. If your house is falling apart, let it. Let it. If it's crashing, let it. Go back to the drawing board. Think of certain instructions that you've heard before and follow it to the T. Be Joseph in the house of Potiphar. Don't go and be all these guys who are in the house of Jacob, lavish in a way, later to come and beg Joseph for food. They were men in their own right. They would say, well, me, I'm in my own family house. I have the bedroom there. Some people, I realize, when they are told to go elsewhere, it's just because, you see the house they are in, they're already king of a castle. They were already something. They were important there. Even though they may be serving plate and all that, they are still an important plate server. So they don't want to lose that, because if you now send me to another house, they don't know me. You're stopping you. The primary duty of a PT is to see to everybody's personal prosperity. It's an assignment I must do. Why? Someone said, why would you care that much for me? I really don't care for you. With due love and respect, I care for the message. However, the message, God's dwelling, is not the building. That's the difference between me and the pastors out there. If I don't care for you, it's because I don't want you to use your resources to build a church that makes me look important. I think what makes God important is us. And so what makes and puts endorsement on my own message too is your prosperity. So it's not you as a figure. It's not you as a human. It is the purpose we found in you and what endorsement you can bring to the work by your prosperity. Amen. It's not you. It's not your person. There are people who care for that. Like your mom. If you don't call her, she can be crying. She can be rolling on the floor. She miss you. Right? Like your dad. Like your auntie. Those people who have council meeting over you. They are doing a fantastic job. But their job is not to see to your prosperity. And even if they want it, they want it for their good. And even if they want it for their good, most of them don't have the skill for it. They're amazing people. But your prosperity, the fulfillment of your purpose on earth, that's my own job. And that will take us telling ourselves to the nitty-gritty. Imagine, it's PT. I understand meetings and anger. The first thing in a meeting is anger. Anger is like, not me. I'm saying, yeah, exactly you. I'd rather be wrong than assuming. Because it is surgery. As in to take us from where we're coming from. Jacob was already promised. He had the blessing on him. Jacob I've loved. You remember that scripture. Esau I hate. But this guy had 12 sons. None of them were rising. They have sibling rivalries. Inherited by their mother. To take Joseph out of that, he gave him a dream, but not just a dream, he sold him out until the word tested him. Look for that scripture for me. He sold him out. He snatched him from... His father was already doing that pampering thing. You know, love. Jacob loved Joseph so much because of his story. The mom died at birth, trying to give birth to him. So there's so much attachment. He went to buy him the cloth of many color. And one day they took that cloth and dipped it in blood, saying for this guy to be what God wants him to be, the progenitor of new faith, world leadership, he would have to pay. He cannot be under the protection of a loving father who loves him so much and gives him all the things he wants. He has to be under the scrutiny of Potiphar and under the tutelage of Pharaoh. And the way to get there is through the cheating of slaves, people who buy and sell slaves. Are you listening to me? This is Joseph's story. Look at this.
Psalm 105 from verse 16.
Tell me, please.
Moreover, he called for a famine in the land. He destroyed all the provision of bread.
All of these was to set up Joseph to greatness. The 12 families are still going to rise, but he was looking for a Joseph. And someone went to prison and tried to come back to tell him, I might be the Joseph. You went by imposing your own freedom. Joseph was under bondage. So after all this blessing we just read that happened to him in the house of Potiphar, guess what still happened to him? Potiphar still sent him to jail. Talk about unfair. That's what I'm saying. Don't ask life to be fair to you. Ask to be great. Fairness has not helped people. Those whose life is feared to, they are the ones, the parliament is debating about them. Should we give them bread tomorrow? Should we give them biscuits? What should we do? Should we increase their wages to 7.5p per hour? That's fairness. And we need countries that are like that. But don't let us mistake the nation family for that. It is not the house of fairness. It's the house of greatness. So meaning, whatever difficulty you've gone through, whatever your brothers or sisters are doing to you, show me attitude for greatness, that you can weather through all those things and you can keep the vision alive. Don't tell me because of what happened I'm hardy now and I'm weak now. Don't do that. That's fairness. And guess what? If you're looking for it, we'll have a meeting and we'll give fairness to you, but you have to give greatness back to us. And let's reserve the greatness, this word, for someone else. For someone who understands the trajectory of greatness. It's not based on fairness. It's based on greatness, pure sacrifice. They dipped his blood, they dipped his clothes in blood, saying, this is going to, the dream you heard, you're going to pay for it by blood, not by some love stuff. Tell me.
Moreover, he called for a famine in the land. He destroyed all the provision of bread.
He was setting Joseph and the 11 families up for greatness. Tell me.
He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons until the time.
He was laid in irons. This is God's favor. This is God's greatness. Is this fair? But are these chains great? Yes. They set the tone of the peculiarity of his life. We as the people of color cannot continue to complain about slavery. It is our setup for greatness, solution. What solution is in us? Is sitting in us as you're listening to me tonight. He set this family up so that we can bring this governance to the world. He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. Verse 18.
They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons until the time that his word came to pass.
Until all this word. And that's why it's a pity you keep saying the greatest family, because I have to keep saying it into this atmosphere, because it will happen. And all those who want fairness now will not be there. But those who are eager for greatness, those who are thirsty and hungry for greatness, those whose ears are still open to correction and direction and instruction, they will be there, because it's the kingdom. And you're not going to assess this kingdom based based on just the cloth of many colors, meaning the decoration of your father, is not going to take you there. It's going to be sweat and blood. It's not just going to be the decoration of, oh, his family here, his family this. It's not how many people are serving you in your houses now. It is how you perform in Potiphar's house. It calls us to that level of obedience and sacrifice again. You can't have both. You can't have fairness and greatness. Your unfair stories. I've complained about unfairness before, and I have the right to. Can look at this country. Hobby, focus. We can look at this country and say, for all we've done for them, for this, we've done for the community, this, we've done that, and you still call us this name, you still limit us, you still, and it says, do you want fairness or greatness? I don't see anyone that has ever helped this nation like me and be treated unfairly like this. I've never seen it. They don't exist. I'm not asking for fairness. I'm asking for greatness. God bless you all. Amen. You ask me what are the instructions for the houses you will hear. We're going to create a house called the House of Sales. So I'm asking all of you that are gifted in sales to form yourself into one family, one house. I'm going to tell you your leadership. I've heard it. People have said, we'll do it. I don't want anybody to do it for me. I'm asking you directly now. Because there are services you guys have. There are things you have, and nobody is selling it. Yet everybody runs around crypto. I don't understand this kind of a backward reverse motion. And if your leaders are the ones encouraging that, it is from wickedness. Wickedness is not intentional. Wickedness is just unskillfulness. And so please, don't wait for a PT's instruction. Let whoever you think should know, let them know I'm a good salesperson. We're instructing all our guys. Instead of this one arguing with this one, you're going to give me 2 days a week to work on the sales floor. Just sell X, Y, Z. And those of you who are entrepreneurs, those of you who are creators, create things for us to sell. You know, I don't like instructions that take a day to do. Phone calls that take 2 days. Have you called this person? Said, no, I will call them. Already, I think my spirit is bold enough to just start blocking anybody. We'll call. Why did you? It's just a phone. It's just phone call. You can't lift your finger and call the person. They are not harshness. They are demand for governed spaces so that we can hand the house of Potiphar and we can hand the palace of Pharaoh. God bless you. I want you to reply me tonight. Are you looking for greatness or fairness? Which one do you want? I want everyone watching, tell me, I want greatness, not fairness. Or you can say, I just want fairness. And that's also good. We must build nations that are fair and just. Which one do you want tonight? Please let me know which one you want, fairness or greatness. If you want greatness, if anyone has offended you in the family, forget it now. It's time, forget. The year has just started and it is a year of greatness. The beauty summit coming up, the Gloss Beauty and Health Summit is greatness. It's not about fairness, it's greatness. Fight for greatness. God bless you. I love you.